Hello and welcome to the Echo Chamber podcast. My name is Tony Groves, and today we're talking the wider Ireland's place in the world and the wider scene that you don't see in front of you. As always, I'm joined by someone who actually never sees further than his own nose. Martin, how are you?
How you doing? Not too bad, Tony. Enjoying semi-lockdown and waiting for the announcement whenever it comes. Look, we're going to be doing a huge amount of work through the lockdown because, you know, it gives us an opportunity to talk to people, they're free, they're available. So as long as you guys keep putting the money into the Patreon, we'll be able to keep pumping these things out. So again, go to patreon.com/tortoiseshack and join. We have great conversations with interesting people.
I know, a bit of housekeeping. Live show on Wednesday evening. Glow West is doing a live podcast on sexual liberation that absolutely terrifies me, but I'm sure loads of people will be keen to tune in. I will probably tune in and lie on the ground in here. And then on Thursday evening, we have a brilliant panel on housing for another live podcast about how we build back better. It's, look, I'm always
looking forward to that one, Tony.
I'm always flattered by the people who we managed to get to talk to. This is going to be with the budget in the rearview mirror, looking back, what are the alternatives, how it works, and how it will actually, what's the more sensible thing, compassionate thing, and financially sensible thing to do. That's all. Both of them are available also on patreon.com/tortoiseshack. If you remember, you get to come to these events for free. You get to contribute. Anyway, enough of that. We're delighted to be joined on the line by John Lannan from Shannon Watch. John, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us.
You're welcome. Delighted to be with you.
Look, we better start very broad because not all of our listeners will be familiar with what Shannon Watch it is. So would you want to explain just where it started, who it is, and who you are, and what you guys do?
Yes, so we're an anti-war and human rights group based in the Midwest of Ireland, and we've been around in different guises since 2002. And the reason we're in existence is because since the end of 2001, the US military have taken approximately 3 million troops and their weapons through Shannon Airport. And it's not something that a lot of people in Ireland focus on or even know about. So we've been monitoring the traffic that's been going through since early 2008 on a daily basis. We've been supporting attempts to do what the authorities won't do, which is to inspect planes in Shannon Airport. We've been holding peace vigils and protests outside the airport every month since then as well, and making submissions to international bodies or OCTAS committees as well, just trying to get a reaction to the fact and to get something done about the fact that we claim to be a neutral state, but we have daily US military flights through Shannon Airport.
John, is there an element of don't look, won't see with this government? You've talked about the inspections that aren't happening. Is there an element of don't look, won't see?
There is, very much so. We've had successive governments that have turned a blind eye to what's going on at Shannon. We famously had a Labour Party leader, Eamon Gilmore, who said in relation to rendition flights when he was in opposition that not knowing is not good enough when it comes to what's on the flights. But when he was in government, it was quite a different story. They did turn a blind eye to it. Same thing when you look at the websites for Shannon Airport or for any of the travel authorities in this country, you see no reference to those military flights through the airport.
You've just touched on, obviously, one thing that everybody will be familiar with who listens to this podcast, the idea of rendition. So you've effectively kidnapped someone in one jurisdiction and you're moving them to another jurisdiction. That could be a black site, that could be something like Guantanamo, it could be all of these things that we, you know, and I don't know, John, but you'd be more familiar to me. We've seen private military being outsourced to carry out dirty work. We've seen even under the Trump administration, the likes of Eric Prince coming back into the fold with his organizations that carried out some of these operations. Rendition itself, is there, under human rights law, is there any obligation in Ireland to make sure that we know this is happening and inspect that it's not happening on our land? Is there any obligation for us to do that?
There is, or there should be. I mean, you're right. Rendition is kidnapping and torture. And we've signed up to the UN Convention Against Torture, and it exists in Irish law, the Criminal Justice Act Convention Against Torture. And we are complicit, or have been complicit, in torture by knowingly allowing known or suspected rendition planes to land at Shannon Airport. So over the course of the years 2004, 2005, 2006, we in Shannon Watch documented 22 known or suspected rendition planes that came through Shannon. The likes, companies like Aero Contractors, Phoenix Air, that were doing CIA's dirty work were coming through. Amnesty International documented this. Reprieve, a London-based organization, documented this. The Rendition Project in the UK, headed by a couple of eminent academics, highlighted this as well. And we've brought the evidence, or the Gardaí keep calling it information, to them, and they've done nothing about it. I mean, we've suspected over the years that there were instructions not to inspect suspect rendition planes coming through Shannon. Such was the willful refusal to do anything about those planes that it appears that's the case. You know, there were times when we knew that a suspect plane had left the United States from our colleagues over there in groups like North Carolina, Stop Torture Now, and we'd notify the authorities before it landed in Shannon, but nothing would be done.
Why, John? Why are they turning a blind eye to this? Why are they allowing it?
That's a good question. I mean, we've been asking that for a lot of years. And one of the answers we get is the economic consequences of speaking out or taking action. You know, we heard about the potential economic consequences of this when Dell Computers, a huge multinational that employed a couple of thousand people close enough to Shannon Airport in Limerick, were teetering and possibly going to move out. We didn't stop the rendition flights of the military planes coming through, but Michael Dell still made a decision to move his operation Lock, Stock and Barrel to Poland. So this is one of the arguments that's given, that we don't want to destabilize that relationship. Some sort of deals were done. Some discussions were held back in 2002, 2003, when the Fianna Fáil government effectively gave the airport over to the US Air Force and Navy, and also then by sort of, I suppose, implication or so to the CIA as well.
And so I know this is actually shocking. Three million troops, just that you've identified 22 rendition planes, and then we're looking at, and we're saying the argument is, you know, well, to use that awful term, we don't want to endanger our special relationship or with our ally, or in effect, it's essentially U.S. military can land there, they can refuel there, and they can head out. We have seen this throughout the world, and we've seen cases of, you know, people who are held without trial for numerous years. So we are complicit in this. There's no two ways about that. Is there a, like, how is it we haven't got a decent anti-war movement to actually say, because this is us facilitating what, and I always quote Aaron Dahi Roy because I love to make it sound like I know what I'm talking about, these culture wars that are being fought around the world in our name.
Yeah, we had 100,000 people on the streets in Dublin in March 2003, when it looked like we were going to be supporting and complicit in the illegal invasion of Iraq. And that splintered and dissipated to a large extent. There are still some of us around. You know, there are organizations like the Peace and Neutrality Alliance, Galway Alliance Against War, the Irish Anti-War Movement, AFRI do a lot of work in this area as well, and ourselves in Shannon Watch. But, a lot of it falls to small committed groups and activists who are themselves prepared to take action these days. But nonetheless, you know, we're holding back a tide to some extent, because, you know, we always of the view that if we didn't do what we're doing to continue to try to highlight what's going on at Shannon and to continue to highlight the fallacy or the nonsense of our claims to be neutral, that we'd probably be members of NATO now and possibly having, you know, millions of troops a year coming through Shannon, tens of millions of troops a year maybe coming through for all we know. So I think, you know, it's dismal in some respects. We often get disheartened by it. But on the other hand, you know, what we're doing is important and it is holding back a tide.
There is a trial ongoing at the moment, John. Two members of Shannon Watch are on trial. Can you tell us what they're on trial for and what you're hoping for from the trial?
Yes, so Colm Ruddy and Dave Donlan are currently in trial at the moment in Dublin for doing or attempting to do what the authorities won't do, which is to inspect US military planes coming through. Now, let me give you a bit of background, first of all, in relation to these military planes. We spoke about the rendition planes. So 22 planes that we have highlighted that came through Shannon repeatedly. So they didn't. That's not just 22 flights. That's repeated flights by these planes coming over and back through Shannon, possibly with kidnapped prisoners on the way to torture. But the flights themselves, then, most of the US military traffic is what are called military contracted planes that are technically civil. So we have, first of all, we have planes operated by the US Air Force, the US Navy, the US military themselves, which our governments, successive governments, have claimed they have assurances from the US, are not carrying munitions or weapons. They're not involved in military operations or exercises. They're not involved in intelligence gathering. Now, anybody who takes a look at the US Air Force website will see that the only thing they do is military operations and exercises. So it's nonsense to claim that they're not doing those when they arrive at Shannon. So we have some of those that get permits from the essentially, they're allowed to land by the Minister for Foreign Affairs. So the Department of Foreign Affairs gives them permits to land. The other planes then are what are called military contracted planes operated by companies like Omni Air International or Atlas Air. And they have weapons on board. And the government had to admit in 2003 when a gun was taken off one of those planes that there were, in fact, weapons on those planes. So they claim, however, that there are no munitions on them. But the key thing is that we do not have any inspections of these planes. The authorities systematically and repeatedly refuse to do any investigation or searches of any of the planes. So we've no idea what's on them. We have found, for example, on one occasion a few years back when there was a 30-millimeter cannon mounted in the side of a Hercules C-130 that landed in Shannon, that it most certainly did have a weapon on board. But guess what? The government told us that that was an administrative error. Now, as far as we're concerned, the administrative error was probably that the guy up, you know, that was in charge of that plane forgot to hide the cannon, to retract it back into the plane before it landed at Shannon, rather than a plane with a 30-millimeter cannon landing. So who knows what's in these planes? The authorities won't inspect them. So people like the two activists you refer to, Colm Ruddy and Dave Donlan, need to highlight this and to draw attention to our complicity in war. Theirs was a faith-based action to do that, but also to do what the authorities won't do, which is to inspect those planes. Mick Wallace and Claire Daly, when they were TDs, attempted to do that as well. There are a couple of other activists also going through the court for attempting the same thing. And these cases get dragged out. So it was 4.5 years ago since Colm and Dave took their action. It's only now in court.
I think a friend of the pod, Niall Carson, got himself as a photographer, got himself in a spot of bother, just tried to take the pictures. So he ended up on the wrong side of the police at the time as well, just doing in the course of doing his job. I know he was obviously innocent, but he was just standing to do his job at the time. I suppose the call to people who are listening to this is quite broad. It's hard to put down and say that, you know, atrocities and or actions that are taking place somewhere else in the world are actually, you know, facilitated here. But this is all one big logistics chain. It is one big logistics chain. Like, we talk about how you know, I've a biro in my hand that maybe was made elsewhere. This is how these things come together, and without that link in the chain, it doesn't happen. And we have to be accountable for that. Do you find that message gets through, or do people just, you know, plumass it away with the whole, "Oh, sure, look, that was 9/11 was obviously given cover to a lot of this"?
Well, the mainstream print and broadcast media do a good job on hiding it for a start, and we don't ever get the broadsheets providing kind of, you know, discussion around this. So the first thing we need to do here in Ireland is to bring this out in the open, put it on the table and say, do we want to be neutral or do we want to be aligned? Do we want to be complicit in war and what's happening across the Middle East? Because, you know, the United States, you know, have started wars. They've engaged in occupations right across that part of the world. And I mean, if you look at the moment, at the mess that Libya is in as a consequence of what they've done there, if you look at the mess that Iraq is, if you look at the mess that Afghanistan is, if you look at Syria, you know, there's involvement here. Take Yemen as well. Here's another one. You know, there's a direct link between Shannon Airport and the outrageous humanitarian crisis that's in place in Yemen right now. We've documented planes that have come through Shannon that have ended up in a huge airbase in Djibouti, which is not far from Yemen. We know there are links there to what the Saudis are doing and their allies in terms of, you know, bombing the place to pieces and creating devastation in a country that most certainly doesn't deserve what's happening to it. And that's what we're turning a blind eye to, because when we ask the questions about what's on those military planes that's coming through Shannon, you know, we want answers to the questions, you know, are we supplying the Saudis with the weapons that they're using to devastate and to bomb Yemen? So you're right. I mean, these chains exist, and we're very much part of them, despite, you know, claims to the otherwise by governments here.
And the idea, sorry, go on ahead, Martin.
I was just going to ask, we're about to take a seat on the UN Security Council. Is there any pressure that can be exerted in that direction from Irish people to have this matter addressed?
Well, I mean, we got this seat largely on the basis that we were an honest broker. We were a neutral, unaligned state. And again, you know, we need a bit of honesty here from our governments. You know, there was very little talk about the 3 million armed US troops that have come through Shannon from Simon Coveney when he was, you know, solidifying our place on that UN Security Council. So as I said, you know, we need to be honest. We need to be open about this as a first step. We also need accountability for what's been going on through the year. So if we could refer back to the rendition flights, you know, that's been brushed under the carpet now, and nobody is made answerable for the fact that we allowed complicity in kidnapping and torture. So there's a lot of work to be done. The first instance to stop our complicity, but then to have answers for what's been going on for the last 20 years.
Can I go on and ask a very basic question on this? Who's paying for all of this? Like, do the US military pay Shannon? Because I know in Cork, the airport was all, you know, oh, it fell under the wing of the Dublin Airport Authority, all of these things. Who is paying for this? Are we getting money from the US Air Force to facilitate this?
I suppose the troops that are coming through maybe buy a few coffees and a few trinkets in the airport when they're coming through, if they're allowed off the planes, although we've heard that they're not all allowed off now because of COVID. But the net loss is very much Ireland's here, because we're waiving air traffic control fees for military flights here. And We've estimated that over the last 20 years or less, it has cost the Irish Exchequer approximately 45 to 50 million. You know, if you look down buried in the book of estimates, you might find this stuff if you look hard at it. But essentially, it's relating to the fact that we're part of a Eurocontrol agreement that allows, it's a multilateral agreement whereby various categories of flights do not pay air traffic control rules. So state operated aircraft will be not liable for them, you know, and it's a reciprocal agreement with the United States. You know, we've probably got one state flight a year when we go over to collect the shamrock from the sitting US president a year, and we don't pay charges for that. But meanwhile, you know, we have, well, in 2019, you know, we had close to 1,000 flights by US military planes coming through Irish airspace.
A thousand flights.
Oh, yeah. We've got, this is ongoing. And, you know, Omni Air International may be paying some fees. We don't hear. We have asked repeatedly for answers to specific questions around the fees. But we're paying the air traffic control fees essentially by being part of this Eurocontrol agreement.
Can I ask, John, was there any slowdown in flights coming through during the lockdown period, or did they just continue unabated?
They've pretty much continued unabated. I mean, the only difference that happened is that when we started drawing attention to it back in April, they said, OK, well, the troops won't be permitted to come off the planes into the duty-free area. They'll have to sit on them while they're being refueled. But no, we've still got the ongoing troop carriers coming through Shannon Airport. You know, I've got the statistics for the first 5 months. There were 168 troop flight landings. You know, there were 32 in May, there were 17 in April, there were 53 in March. You know, this is at the height of COVID-19, when we're being told that there's a restriction on travel, that there should be, because we don't want to be taking this virus back and forth across the world, you know, but we have people who are coming from air bases, who are coming from war zones, who are coming from, you know, very unsafe parts of the world, doing very unsafe and dangerous things, landing at Shannon Airport.
Can I ask, and this is definitely gone, I'm going off topic here slightly, but President Trump himself was guilty, and I say that using my words, of landing planes in Scotland so he could refuel there so they could use his own hotel and he could make a few bob off it. Have we seen any drop off in Ireland as opposed to under this administration as opposed to the previous administration?
By and large, the figures have been more or less the same. I mean, they've actually increased. You know, if we look at for these so-called civilian flights, these troop carriers, in order to take the weapons through Shannon, they need a permit from the Minister for Transport. So it's now the leader of the Green Party, Eamon Ryan, who's giving the permits for them to go through. But we have seen, so it was, you know, 2017, there were 919 of these permits granted, went over 1,000 in 2018. It was over 1,000 again in 2019. So
it's fairly standard.
Fairly standard. Now, the other way of looking at it is that, you know, strategically, Shannon shouldn't be all that necessary for the US military. You know, they can use Prestwick, they can use Ramstein or other sites over in Germany, they can use other places. But there seems to be a determination to keep us locked into this, what do you call it, this military alliance, essentially, by having the continuation of landings. I can't think of any other reason for it. You know, in fact, we do know back, I think it was 11 years ago, when the US military themselves, or the US administration, suggested that they might move out of Shannon. And they were told effectively by the Irish government at the time that no, it was okay, they could continue using it. This was reported on RTE at the time, so it was you know, in the public domain that there was the possibility of ending it all back then. But the government said, no, we're happy to continue.
Last question from me, John. How do you keep going?
It's just persistence at this stage, dogged persistence with us. We're not going to let this go. And this is part of, I mean, this is essential. It's been interesting if you look at the January 2008, we decided we'd try and run regular peace vigils outside the airport because we were getting a lot of flack, say, from local people and from workers in the airport who felt that we were just putting their jobs at, you know, at risk. So we started doing the monthly peace vigils. We've continued ever since, although we took a break for a couple of months because of COVID this year. But you can see how public opinion has shifted over that time. And the level of support that we get is significantly higher now than it was, say, 10, 15 years ago. So even though it's not, you know, there's no discourse or discussion around this in sort of the mainstream, let's say, you know, at a local level, it's it irritates people. And it's things like, you know, the noise of those Hercules C-130s coming over the airport, or the fact that they're, you know, the airport has been allowed to go down the Suwannee as a commercial entity while the US military are still able to use it is irking some people. That and the fact that we do think we're making a difference. As I said, we're not members of NATO. I think we'd probably be well embedded in it now if we weren't doing what we're doing as an anti-war movement in the country. So it is worth continuing. And, you know, we are in any line of activism, you have to be sure that you will be successful one day. There's no point in going on if you don't feel that you will make a change. So we are quite confident, quite determined that this US military use of Shannon Airport will end. We need a lot more people to know about it, a lot more discussion about it, a lot more people to cop on to the fact that we're complicit in the killing of millions of civilians, including children all over the world. But we'll get there.
I think that's a really...
Amen to that, John.
I think that's a really important message, though, because that's the first time I've heard us linked to be able to link to Djibouti, to link to Yemen, to show that that's how, like, we know these wars that take place in these far-flung places are done in such a way as to maintain a standard of living for people who are really feel unaffected by this. But we have to think beyond that's why I said at the outset, we think beyond the outside our own noses, the end of our own noses, we have to see beyond there. ShannonWatch.org, that's where the people can get information. Yeah.
Yeah. Could I also say that, you know, this is directly linked as well to that phrase that I dislike, called the refugee crisis that Europe is facing. You know, it's not a refugee crisis for Europe. It's certainly a crisis for the individuals that have to flee from climate devastation, that have to flee from militarization, that have to flee from wars and conflicts that we're complicit in. So when we see, you know, people dying as they're trying to cross the Mediterranean, or when we see people risking their lives to get to safety and sanctuary in some place like Ireland, that too is a direct consequence of what's going on at Shannon Airport. So it's really important to make that link as well.
Thanks for coming in and talking to us, John. It's been a pleasure, and we wish you the very best and hope that you do keep going. Good activism stays going. It just does. And just to remind everybody out there, you can join the Tortoiseshack family at patreon.com/tortoiseshack.
ShannonWatch.org, guys. Go check out the information and also understand that it is logistics. We've spoken to people who do emergency response and how it all ties up. We are part of this, the link in the chain. Let's try and break that. Let's untie our little noose in that chain, please. Talk to you all soon. Take care. Bye bye.
Tony and Martin, Martin and Tony, speaking to interesting people only. It's the Echo Chamber podcast. Subscribe now.